Hallelujah, praise God. I sense that there's a sweetness of the presence of the Holy Spirit here tonight, and there's a quietness amongst you, and I cannot help but to think that it's the quiet before the storm. I do believe that God has got something mighty planned for us tonight, and I'm excited in my spirit, and that what God started this morning and over the weekend with the men, we're going to start and we're going to continue running with what God has been doing. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Anton Meiberg. My beautiful wife, Christelle, was preaching this morning. And I oversee a number of things here in Stellenbosch, head office. It's the network churches, all the churches that's not Shofar Church in name, but connected with us and relating to us, and the developing churches in the poorer communities, as well as just overseeing Pastori, the Cyrus Trust, and the NGOs. And then more recently, something that Pastor Fred has asked me to help him with, and that is the Empowered 21 movement. And we returned from Kenya on Wednesday. For me, it was such a privilege to go with him, and Pastor Fred and Reverend Frank Shikani has been commissioned by the Empowered 21 movement to gather the nations of Africa. And so they've got the communications portfolio and trying to gather Pentecostal and charismatic churches in Africa. And so we went to East Africa and gathered some of the East African nations. And the leaders who were present there were leaders of maybe 60 churches and some up to 4,000 churches that they were representing. And it's just amazing to see how God is bringing people together. Now, just to give you a little bit of background about Empowered 21, because I want you to understand what we're part of and where we're going to and what God is doing in the world. Empowered 21 is the movement that we started to take hands with recently, more steadily in last year. But it's Pentecostal and charismatic churches across the world in groups coming together and saying, let us plan together, let us work together for global evangelism and discipleship and church planting. And so up to now, there's about 65 million people that's already involved, that God is gathering across the continents. Amazingly enough, that the fastest moving guys are actually in Asia. And in Indonesia, which is the biggest Muslim country in terms of population, is where God's Holy Spirit is moving the fastest. The Holy Spirit empowered churches in Indonesia are the fastest growing ones. Second to them comes South America, as God is pouring out His Spirit on that continent, and the people are gathering and mobilizing in prayer, according to the word we've received as well this evening, that we need to come together in prayer. But it's not just prayer, it's also prayer and action. Then comes America and Europe, and the continent that's lagging a little bit behind us is Africa. Because Africa has been used to just each one doing his own thing and not really working together. But God is pulling people together, and it was amazing to see what God is doing. Starting in East Africa and Southern Africa, in April, Pastor Fred and I will be going to Ghana to meet with the continental leadership. And in June, all the pastors, as many as possible from across the continent, will come together. But I want to give you just a little bit of background of what's happening and where this is all coming from. In 2006, the Empower 21 group started to meet, or not started, they had a celebration in Azusa Street, which is just 100 years after the Azusa Street revival. Who of you have heard of the Azusa Street revival? Okay, not many. Okay, I'll tell you about it. What happened is that, maybe before I get to what happened, in 2033, we're going to have another celebration. That time is going to be in Jerusalem. And that will be exactly 2,000 years after the first Pentecost. Anybody going? You've got some time to plan and save up for that time. Why is this happening? Because the Spirit of God is covering the earth and is saying, come together. And the goal of Empower 21 is to say, by 2033, we want to have a Spirit-filled church in every city and town and village on the continent. Do you think we can do that? Do you want to be part of that?
as the fire of God is moving, but there's a gathering and there's a scattering. God is gathering us and then he's scattering us. Gathering, empowering, and sending out. Gathering, empowering, and sending out. And we are like seed being sown. And you sitting here, many of the young people in university, you are destined to be sown a seed across the world. And even tonight, the Holy Spirit will start to speak to you, not even through my voice, but the Spirit himself will start to speak to you and talk to you about where he's going to send you and how he's going to send you and what's going to happen. The details will follow later. But tonight, we need to recognize that we are called to be seed for sowing, to be empowered by the Spirit of God. Now, let me move on to what I have for tonight, because it's building on what I really feel God is saying. We need to talk about the Holy Spirit. We need to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit and what he's doing in our lives. Now, a lot of us here are already filled with the Holy Spirit. Some of us are speaking in tongues and praying in tongues. We've received tonight. I'm so thankful for the gentleman that came forward tonight to confirm my message, because my message is about the fact that as a church, we need to listen to the Holy Spirit. We need to have tongues. We need to have interpretation. We need to have prophetic words. We had a number of prophetic words, and at the end, I was giving the interpretation. And if you don't have the interpretation, just ask God, and he will give you the interpretation. It's amazing if we just listen to God. Now, a lot of us are struggling to really move in the Spirit of God. Some of us are struggling to really hear the voice of the Holy Spirit or to step out in faith and to walk on the water, proverbially speaking. And I'm going to share tonight with you a little bit about my testimony, just glimpses of how God has touched my life and stirred me to move beyond the barriers. And hopefully God will break barriers in your life. And if you don't have any barriers, praise God for that. But then you need to go and help others to run with you, because the Holy Spirit didn't come for fellowship. He came for an explosion. He didn't come to keep you warm like a blanket. He came to make fire under your bottom. Reminds me of how my brother and I used to get hidings. He's younger than me. So when it was his turn, and there was fire, he was jumping like this. I know. All throughout the hall. Now, God is not coming to hit you tonight, but he's coming to make fire. What did Samson do with the jackals? He tied the tails 2x2 and he put a torch and he put it on fire, and they ran throughout the enemy's lands and burned it all down. What did Jesus do with his disciples? Well, he didn't tie their tails. But he sent them out 2x2. In Matthew 10, you see him sending out the 12 2x2. And he says, go and heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out the demons. In Luke chapter 10, he sends out 70 others. And he gives them the same commandment. Go now. 2x2, they went out. There's a pattern that is there, but I'm off topic already. Let me come back. We live in the natural world and we live in the spiritual world at the same time. And in the Western world, there are two tricks that Satan is trying to pull. On the one hand, he's bringing intellectualism, especially at universities, and saying, well, there is no God, there's no demon, there's no devils, there's no spiritual realm. It's just the material things and what you can see and taste and smell and whatever science can produce in front of your eyes. And that's the reality, and it's the only reality. And so God and all of this spirits, that's all nonsense. On the other hand, you have the Harry Potter crowd who knows about Satanism. You have the guys who's got these seance parties and trance parties and things like that. You see the demons, where you take your ecstasy, you see the demons, you talk to them, and you're aware of that. So there's these two contrasts, and the one rejecting God and the other as well. But Christians oftentimes come into the church and sort of wonder, is the spiritual realm real? But let me just put it to you plainly. You are body, soul, and spirit. Right here, it's your soul inside your body, and you've got a spirit body looking just like this one, the same shape, and it doesn't have faces, and it doesn't have gray hair, and wonderful. And one day, your flesh box, I call it the walking butchery, is going to drop dead. And then your soul inside your spirit is going to move either to heaven or to hell. But you are at this very moment in contact with the natural realm and with the spiritual realm, the supernatural realm. Whether you like to believe it or not, whether you know it or not. In this room around us, there are angelic beings. You cannot see them, but God can open our eyes to see them. Some of us have received the gift of the discerning of spirits. I remember 20 years ago when I was a student like you with Pastor Sias, we were planning first year's outreaches. And Keith, who's doing the sound there at the back, was in a room with me where five of us were staying in a house and we were praying for the first years. And at 3 o'clock at night, Keith and I sat up in our beds like this together, like jackknives, together. And I said to him, "Do you feel this? What's happening?" He says, "Yes, there's a demonic presence here." And we started to pray. And we fervently prayed for praying in the spirit for maybe an hour or two. And at the end, suddenly in front of the window, there appeared a demon looking at us through the window. And I said, immediately my spirit, I recognized him and I said, "You are a aspiring spirit. In the name of Jesus, be gone." And I pointed this way. And Sias was in the room next to us. So at 3 o'clock in the morning, Keith and I opened the door. And as we opened the door, so Sias opens his door. And Lizelle Mostert opens her door. And Shemait opens her door. And we all come together. And we said, "Did you feel that?" "Yeah." And we were all praying for the same things. We all felt the demonic presence at the same time. And Sias said, "And I saw someone flying past my window." Isn't it amazing that when we start to just open up, it's like Elijah, it was now Elisha and his servant Gehazi, and they're surrounded by an enemy army, and they're sitting there, and the servant wakes up and he looks and he sees this host surrounding them, and he's so worried and stressed out, and he says, my master, the enemy's upon us." And the, you know, prophet just scratched the boy key, put some more curls on, and he's not moved because he can see in the spirit. Eventually, he gets tired of his servant bugging him, and he says, "God, please just open his eyes." And then the servant starts to see the chariots of fire.
Ooh.
And he says, "Oh, master, those who are for us are more than those against us." And he says, "Yeah, glad you woke up to that now." The apostle Paul prays and he says, "It is my prayer that your spiritual eyes will be opened," Ephesians chapter 1, "that you will see that not only the love of God, but the greatness of His power." Even spirit-filled, charismatic Christians are sometimes walking with veils over our eyes, and we are not pursuing the things of God. Because what happened from Pentecost, there was 120 people who were filled with the Holy Spirit. But the whole globe was covered with the knowledge of the Lord less than 100 years after that. And so, as the knowledge of the Holy Spirit and the moving of the Holy Spirit somehow died out, as it wasn't passed out from one generation to the next, we got into the dark ages. And for about 1,800, 1,700 years, plus minus, around about there, we had this sort of emptiness on our planet. Then came 1906, Azusa Street, the fire of God fell in a small little church, and it spread. Now there's 550 million Pentecostals in 100 years. 550 million people filled with the Spirit of God. Church, when you receive the Holy Spirit and the fire of God, it's not just there for you. It's so that you can go out and reach hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands. Every single one of you. And it starts right here tonight. The first person that I led to Jesus Christ was 15 minutes after I became born again. The first person I met who was filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, was me. I read the scriptures, I had a hunger, and I said, "God, I want more. I want to see what is happening. I want to see what I'm reading in scriptures." And I prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm running ahead of myself again. But I received it. All by myself, standing in Paul after church on a Sunday night, as the Holy Spirit has come upon me. And ever since then, wonderful things have been happening, and I want to encourage you to grab hold of what God has for you. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 13 to 14, basically says that spiritual things must be understood by the Spirit. In other words, when you become born again, you receive the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit is in you. Then thereafter comes the baptism and the Holy Spirit. But without the Holy Spirit, you cannot understand spiritual things. You cannot explain to people the things I'm sharing with you tonight if they're not born again. Rather, first minister to them salvation, coming to Jesus, and then we talk spiritual things after that. Let me tell you about my first supernatural encounter. I was 15 years old. All throughout my life, I always believed in God, knew that God was there, and sort of, you know, like a little boy, gave my heart to Jesus. Levi says, he's my heart. And every time, very sincere, and throughout high school, I committed my life to God, and I was crying, snorting trana, you know, sometimes with the bucky, catching it. Really sincere every time, truly sincere, but not yet born again. Never coming to that 100% full out repentance, dying to self, all for Jesus, now and forevermore. But at the age of 15, I was coming home after school, lying in my bed a little bit tired, but fully awake. And I was looking at the ceiling and the curtains and the lights. And all of a sudden, in my spirit, I was transferred, like being ripped out of my body. And my spirit man was inside the spiritual realm and sort of like inside of a vision. And you could see, it's like, if you've ever wanted to jump into a movie, any movie. It's like that. I was in the movie, and in the movie, I saw the Roman soldiers like they were dressed 2,000 years ago with the leather sandals and the helmets coming here and the red and the swords and everything. And they were walking past me up onto a hill. And on the hill, I saw the three figures there on the hill. And above the hill, there was this big dark cloud. And out of the cloud came a mighty voice, and it says, Anton, this is my beloved son in whom I delight. And all of a sudden, I saw the curtains in my windows. And I was back in my room. And yet, even that supernatural encounter did not help me to come to the place of complete dying to self. It only happened a year later. Because I lacked understanding. I didn't know that it's not just saying a little prayer. It's about dying to yourself before you can become born again. But once I became born again, I started to read the scriptures. I had such a hunger for the Word of God. And I spent 3 to 4 hours per day in the Word. How do I know 3 hours? Because I was in Parel Gymnasium in the Kosse, Hayes McFarland. Anybody from there? So we studied 1.5 hours, 10-minute break, 1.5 hours study. That was my Bible reading time. And the principal came doing inspection twice, and twice I was reading my Bible. And he says, okay, but come on. But as I was reading the Bible, I was reading scriptures that no preacher has ever preached. And I was saying, but God, how can this be? How can I read these things? How could no one ever tell me about the realities of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit and the moving of God's power in and through the lives of the apostles and the disciples? Listen to some of the scriptures that I was reading. Mark chapter 16 verse 5. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who accompany. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. It says these things will happen, not might happen, it will happen with whom? Those who believe. Are there any believers in this room? When was the last time you picked up a snake? When was the last time you cast out a demon? When was the last time you laid your hands on the sick and they were made healed? They were made well. And I was reading that and I said, my God, in my life of 16 years old or 17 years old, I've never seen any of this in anywhere I went. Not even the preachers. God, I want that. I want it in my life. I want that which is real, because this is a promise from Jesus Christ for every believer. It gets worse. John 14 verse 12. Jesus speaking, he says, Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. We are called to do the same things as Jesus has done. Anybody walked on water lately? Turned water into wine, multiplied the bread. Amazing. One in the early years in Shofar, one of our teams that I sent out went to Zimbabwe. And they had a small packet of rusks. And when they arrived at the church, there was waiting for them for 48 hours in the church, ready for the Word of God. And they were hungry spiritually, but also physically. And so all the guys had, there was this bag of rusks. And they said, okay, well, let's hand it out. They said, well, it's not enough. I said, well, let's trust God for multiplication. And so they started handing out the rusks, and the whole church ate, and afterwards they had more rusks than what they started with. Hallelujah. At the end, I'm going to share with you a little bit more testimonies, just, or maybe I'll just throw this one in, yeah. No, I'll get to it later. Listen to this. Now, it happened. Let's look at Jesus a bit more. Matthew 4:24. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. Matthew 8:16. That evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This is Jesus, and there's many other scriptures like these about Jesus healing everyone and casting out every demon that is brought before him. But now let's listen to how the words of Jesus was fulfilled in Acts chapter 5 verse 12. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. Chapter 5 verse 16, the people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. That is where we need to operate, church. That is our heritage. That is the promise that Jesus has given us. And as we seek the Lord, He will come near to us. And He will lead us in the way to go. As I was praying about these things and what I haven't found in my life, I started to find other scriptures. And I'm going to give you some key scriptures that I discovered as a young teenager and how it's changed my life. I read Luke chapter 3 verse 16. Does anybody know another 3:16 that's important? John 3:16. Now from now onwards you need to remember Luke 3:16 as well. John answered them all saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And as I read that, I realized, God, maybe this is the clue. Maybe this is what's missing. This is why I'm not seeing the promises fulfilled, because where is the Holy Spirit and where is the fire? Why am I not seeing this? Acts 1 verse 4, Jesus speaks and he says, and while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. This is the promise that God gave in Joel. Now, I just want to backtrack, and those who are doing the PowerPoint, you can just go a little bit back. I'm going to Saul and the days of Saul in 1 Samuel. In the Old Testament, only a few people had the Holy Spirit upon them. It was the prophets, some of the priests, and some of the kings. And here in 1 Samuel, we read how our King Saul was anointed, and as he was anointed, the prophet said to him, go to a certain place, and when you get there, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. So it's this anointing, which is the commissioning, the entering into office of king or priest or prophet. Now let's read. 1 Samuel 10 verse 1. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed and said, has not the Lord anointed you to be prince over his people Israel? Verse 6. Then the Spirit of the Lord will rush upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. Remember that. Verse 11. And when all who knew him previously saw how he prophesied with the prophets, the people said to one another, what has come over the son of Kish? Is Saul among the prophets? In other words, they realize there's a change in this man. They know him, and now all of a sudden he's prophesying, and the Spirit of God is upon him. What happened? He was anointed. He was called. He was appointed into an office to say, you be king. And if you're going to be an effective king, then you need the power of the Holy Spirit, the divine, supernatural, almighty power of God. And as he received it, God said to him, and when that happens, you will become a different man. You will change. I grew up as always the smallest boy in my class. And I had green freckles, which looked like snot to me. And I always believed that I was really ugly. And I, the first 3 years of my primary school life, I was crying every break time, first break, second break. And I didn't consider myself a mighty man growing up, but when the Spirit of God took hold of me, I realized that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And the night that I became born again, that night I said to God, God, I will do whatever, whenever, wherever. New definition for www. Whatever, whenever, wherever, I will do it for you. And God, if you call me to China, I'll go to China. If I must speak in front of 10,000 people, I will do that, even if I couldn't do my Afrikaans modeling without shaking like a leaf. Because when the Spirit of God comes upon you, you become a different person. You are looking at your own struggles and what you can and cannot do and why you cannot minister to your professor or to your colleagues or to the haka or to whosoever or to your parents. But I want to say to you, trust the Holy Spirit to come upon you and say, Lord, come. Every time when I stand up to speak to someone, I say, Lord Jesus, put your words in my mouth according to your promise. Because he said to the apostles, don't worry what you'll say in that day and that hour. In that moment, I will put my words in your mouth. When you're filled with God's Spirit, his words will be in you. But you need to be willing and ready to move. Acts 1 verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Sorry, I need to finish something. Joel chapter 2. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days I will pour out my Spirit. This is the promise that God has given the Old Testament guys. And he said, now just one or two of you have got the Holy Spirit. But there will come a time when every believer will have the Spirit. They will all prophesy to means to hear my voice, to speak my voice, to speak my words. A prophet is a messenger, nothing more. Not some big guy with a mantle eating sprinkana. It's just a messenger. And if God's saying my sons and my daughters will prophesy, it means they will hear my voice and they will speak and say whatever I tell them to say. Are you ready to speak what God tells you to speak? Are you ready to go to whomever God sends you with that message that he will put in your mouth? Think about that. But as we look at Acts and the fulfillment of that, it all comes to this promise where God says, this is the time. Now come back to Acts 1. But you will receive power when the Spirit comes upon you and you will be witnesses. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Stellenbosch, Western Cape, South Africa, and to the ends of the earth. What is your job description? You're not a king. You're not, well, some of you may be prophets. You're not priests. You are witnesses. God says, I've given you an office. You've been placed in a position of responsibility. And because you're going to witness and testify to the world about my name and about the way of salvation, I'm going to put my Spirit on each and every one of you. And you're going to be a resounding megaphone going out saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. That is how the early church grew. by the power of the Spirit of God upon them. That is how 550 million people are now filled with the Spirit, because some of the guys went out like foxes with fire in their tails, and they said, we will not have the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And we will take up the promise of Joshua and be strong and courageous and not be moved by men or the fear of men or the fear of failure. In the early days of Shofar, I can't tell you, but we did crazy and wild things. Wonderful things, which takes fearlessness. We don't have time to go into that. But let's look at that dunamis power. Dunamis is the word for power. And it's where we get the English word dynamite from. And it speaks of a power or energy or a force. That is what it is. In other words, the best way to explain it to you is it's like spiritual electricity. It flows like a current, but it can fall like lightning. There was a woman who was bleeding for 12 years. And so she was pushing through the crowd. And she said to herself, if I can only touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I will be healed. I know I will be healed. And she did that. She touched him. He turned around and he said, who touched me? And the whole crowd went silent. And the apostles said, but Lord Jesus, what do you mean? There's 5,000 people who touched you. All around you, masses. What do you mean? Who touched you? Everybody's touched you. He says, no. Power has gone out of me. I literally felt the current of the dunamis power go out of me. Somebody touched me. And then this lady comes out and Jesus looks at her and she says, well, I've been bleeding for 12 years and this is what happened, but now I'm healed. And he says, your faith has made you well. It's like electricity that is here, but the lights won't go on until you flick the switch. And the switch is faith. Thousands touched Jesus. One got healed because she had faith. Do you have faith for the switch? If you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, great. If you haven't been filled with the Spirit, tonight's your night. We're going to walk out, yes, filled with the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you, you can still be powerless if you don't flick the switch. I met with Reinhard Bonnke years ago, and he said to me, Anton, faith is the key for miracles. That is it. Believe, trusting in God. But then we have the centurion who comes to Jesus and says, my servant is sick. And Jesus says, well, it's far away, but I'll walk. I'll go with you. And he says, no, Lord. You don't need to come to me. You just speak the word. And Jesus was surprised. He said, wow, such great faith have I not seen in all Israel. And so he was healed. It's like the lightning that struck somewhere far. It wasn't directly through it. In other words, sometimes the Holy Spirit will flow through the laying on of hands. There's a current literally happening and taking place. Sometimes it's just through prayer in our absence, and it happens somewhere else. But there's a current that is flowing, activated by faith. And these things are real. Who of you have laid your hands on somebody, prayed for them, and felt your hand becoming warm? Anybody ever felt that? Or somebody else laying hands on you, felt a warmth coming through the hand? You wonder, ever wonder why fire? What is fire? Fire is what is released when energy is released. When you take a piece of wood like this, there's energy inside this wooden little table. But if the energy comes out, we call it fire. There's heat and there's light that comes out because the energy is released. When the tongues of fire came upon the apostles, there was energy, there was power, and that fire is just a manifestation of the power of God. So we are filled with the Holy Spirit and we are filled with His power. Dunamis power, with the fire of God. As a manifestation, which we don't always see. And it's not something that we particularly necessarily need to focus on. But let us move on. Acts chapter 2, I'm not going to read it now. That's where the Holy Spirit is poured out and the tongues of fire comes upon everyone. And as they are coming, let's go to verse 6. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us his own native language? Let me talk to you about speaking in tongues for just one moment. There's 8 other gifts just as important. It's not the only thing. But this was the first sign. And so what happens when you're speaking in tongues? That's your spirit man speaking out. You have a soul and your soul speaks English or Afrikaans or Xhosa or Zulu or something like that. But you have a spirit man. And when the Spirit of God comes upon you and quickens you, your spirit starts to speak in heavenly languages or in unknown earthly languages that your soul does not understand, not English or not Afrikaans. The night I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I was praying and said, Lord, I want you to baptize me with your Holy Spirit and with fire. Make your gifts alive in me and use me, Lord. Here I am. Use me now. And I felt the fire of God come upon me, but I didn't speak in tongues. I didn't see any lightning, and I didn't fall over, nothing of the sort. I had a little bit of goosebumps, but that's about it. I didn't pray in tongues immediately. 3 months later, somebody asked me, you are filled with the Holy Spirit, hey? I said, well, what do you mean exactly? He says, no, you lay hands. Has anybody laid hands on you? And then you were filled with the Spirit. No, nobody's laid hands on me. So I wanted to go to his church. And they organized the lift, and the lift didn't work out. And I was furious with God. I said, God, now I really want this. And now the lift doesn't work out. And as I said that, the Holy Spirit flashed a vision in front of my eyes, remembering the first night I asked. And he said, you asked, therefore you have received. So for 6 months, I didn't pray in tongues. I didn't experience anything. But as I opened the scriptures, my eyes were opened, and I had insight like never before. And at first, I started speaking in tongues, and I sounded like a horse race commentator. Until somebody in church came to me and said, Anton, you know, this is a language. There's commas and there's full stops and then sometimes a question mark or something. Slow down. So I started to slow down. Formulated the words properly. And then came Satan and said, ah, you're just making up the words. This is just baby language, gaga, goo goo. Yeah. And then I turn to Luke chapter 11, verse 9. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to one who knocks it will be opened. For what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Matthew 7 verse 7 tells the same story. And Jesus is saying, you are evil. If your son asks for a bread, you won't give him a stone, which means you're not going to give him something fake. If you ask for a fish and an egg, you're not giving him a scorpion or a snake. You're not going to give him something dangerous. You're not going to receive a demon tongue. That's rubbish. But it says, if you ask, you will receive. So I said, Lord, you gave me a promise. And I'm going to stand on this promise. And even if I have nothing else to stand on, I'll stand on that. And if I make up these words, I'm going to trust God that I'm going to make them up right. So 20 years ago, in 1994, a bunch of us here from Shofar went to Durban for the Love Southern Africa conference. We were on our way for a mission trip, attended the conference. And during the break time, we led one of the black gentlemen from Durban to the Lord. He became born again, took him to where we stayed, baptized him in the bath. That's the only water we could find. And eight of us were standing around him, and we were praying in tongues. And I said these words. I said, Lord, use me. I'm ready. I'm willing. I'm already praying in tongues. Everybody else is already praying in tongues. But I pray, Lord, use me. I'm ready to be used. And all of a sudden, my language changed. And the clicking sound started to come out of my mouth. My mouth is too dry to show it now. And I started to feel the fire of God, literally fire inside me, rise up. And I started to speak louder voluntarily because I realized something was happening. The guy in the bathtub was getting excited. Everybody else was getting excited. I still didn't know what was happening. But I carried on for about 10, 15 minutes. And after, at the end, I said to him, sort of like sheepies, did you understand what I was saying? He looked at me like I'm stupid. Yes, of course. Long and the short of the story is I spoke to him in fluent Xhosa, Even making the four different types of clicking sounds right. And that's an achievement in itself. And what I was saying to him in his own language was the teachings on salvation, baptism, and baptism in the Holy Spirit. You see, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me tell you the first time I prophesied. I was sitting in church, more or less that same year, and our worship pastor, Pastor Timothy Bucker, at the end, he was saying, does anybody have a word? And then I got that that butterfly feeling in my stomach. Anybody ever felt that? You know, the one you get before the exam or before you have to do that race or before you get into the principal's office? Not quite. And I knew I had to go, but I didn't know what God was going to say. What was the word, Lord? I didn't know. So I'm walking to the front, not having a clue what God has to say. I'm walking up the steps, high steps, and still I have nothing to say. I indicate to Timothy, and still I have nothing to say. I take the microphone, and I have nothing to say. I say, thus says the Lord. And as I said, Lord, the first sentence came, and the next, and the next, and the next. Many people came to me after and said, wow, that was just for me. That was God. You see, we have an expectation. Some of us are being filled with the Holy Spirit. Some people have been praying for you, but you haven't spoken in tongues. You haven't prophesied. You haven't really moved in the gifts of the Spirit. Let me tell you, if you have asked, you have received already. But you need to activate your faith button and get off your behind. Most of us are somehow waiting for lightning to strike us and an angel to come and shake your tongue. And then angels go, you know, shake your tongue for you. It's not about emotions. It's not about this feeling and the goosebumps. It's about 1 Corinthians 14, where Paul says, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. In other words, if you have a word of prophecy like we had tonight here, then there's no angel that's going to come pick you up and fly you like some kind of a Buddha and bring you to the front and come shake your tongue here. You have to take your butterflies in your stomach, walk yourself to the front, share the word with whoever is checking the prophecies, and then come and speak it out. Amen? Are you ready to do what God has called you to do? I remember the first time I prayed for healing. Pastor Sears and I were students, and we were on a mission trip to Malawi and to Tipa. And about 500 people standing in front of me as we were we alternated doing the crusades. And first time I was making an altar call for sick people to come to the front. I said, Lord, I don't know how to do this. I can't make anybody healed. But I just said, anyone who's sick, come to the front. We're going to pray for you. And as they came and we laid hands on them, the sick were healed in Jesus' name. And since then, many people have been healed. I can carry on and on and on to tell you stories about what God has done in my life and through my life. But my challenge to you tonight is to say, Lord, now, I am ready. Use me. I'm willing. Some of us are willing, but we're not obedient. You're willing to go, but when push comes to shove, you chicken out. You're not obedient. I want to call you, church, to become obedient, to be fired up, and to do what God calls you to do. If 120 people could change the globe, how much can 1,000 people do? I have so much more that I want to share with you. Just on screen, maybe you can look at some books that you can go and read. I never, ever promote any books. The Bible is it for me. Nothing can ever replace it. But there's a book here called They Speak With Other Tongues. I read it as a teenager by John Sherrill. It's a guy that was a Christian, but he went out as a magazine writer to disprove tongues. And the more he tried to disprove it, the more it was proven to him. Go read it. Some interesting testimonies. There's like a mighty wind from Maltari, whose testimonies of little children, 10 years old, walking on water over a flooding river with the Muslims watching them as they go and testify of Jesus Christ with an angel in front and an angel behind them. Where they multiply. Maltari tells a story the first time they turned. There's no wine in that place. So every Sunday, they have to turn water into wine to have communion. And he said, no, this is a lie, man. They're cheating. Somehow somebody's sneaking it in and they're pretending this is all one big miracle. So one Sunday, they said to Mal, you go and fetch the water. He says, yeah, sure. Oh, and he brings it in. He carries. Nobody's going to do tricks on me. And he's got a cloth over it. And so they say, well, Mal, why don't you pray? Because he was thinking, who's going to pray? The magic priest. Now he has to pray. And as he opens his eyes, the cloth has fallen into the water and it's turned red. Now he has to taste it. And as he tastes it, it tastes like water. And he says, what? What now? They say, how does it taste? And the Holy Spirit says to him, tell them, praise God, it tastes like wonderful wine. He says, Lord, I can't do that. And God says to him, who are you going to believe? Your tongue or my word? He said, praise God, it tastes like wonderful water. Wonderful wine. Sorry. Slip of the tongue there. So now he has to take it to church, and at the entrance of the door, it's about 100 meters, and at the entrance of the church stands the pastor, and he tastes, and he says, praise God, it tastes like wonderful wine. And he looks at him and says, you're a liar. So he takes another sip, and it was wine. What are you going to believe? Whose report will you believe? I will believe the report of the Lord. Maybe you're too young to know that song. Whose report will you believe? Then there's the heavenly man who amazing things happened to how they would gather meetings in China. Up to 65 million believers now, starting from a handful. They didn't have SMSs or Outlook calendar meeting appointments. The Holy Spirit would tell them, gather here, gather there. Amazing, fantastic things that God did there. And one last one, Evangelism by Fire by Reinhard Bonnke. Go read it up. But most of all, start tonight. If you're really filled with the Spirit, I want you to pray with us tonight. If you have not yet been filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to become born again first. Commit your life to Jesus fully and completely. So I want to firstly just ask, is there anyone here tonight? I'm just going to do this cold in a sense. Is there anyone here tonight that says, tonight I want to become born again and commit my life to Jesus Christ? Not 99%, not 95%. Everything. If you've already made that decision, wonderful. But if there's anyone here tonight that says, I want that now, just raise your hand, please. Wonderful. Anyone else? Please come to the front quickly and stand to my left here. Just very quickly. Hallelujah. Just come around and stand to my left, please. Church, the next 10 minutes is going to be holy. And you're going to learn something tonight. First, we're going to pray with these wonderful people. And then we're going to come to the next one. We're going to pray for baptism in the Holy Spirit. And you're going to be part of it. And I'm going to teach you how to do it. Because every one of you should be able to not only lead somebody to salvation, but also to pray for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Freely you've received, freely give. Wonderful. The moment that stands before you tonight is death. So you can wave goodbye to your friends because they'll never see you again. The old you are going to die right now, and you're going to become a new creation in the next 2 minutes. Which means you repent of your sins completely and fully. You turn to Christ through faith in Jesus Christ, who died in your place,
that you may be saved. Amen. And from this moment onwards, you're entering into the new covenant through Jesus Christ. You become children of God, and He is your first love. And Jesus says, I stand in no queue, not mother, no father. Count the cost. Persecution will come. Rejection will come. Count the cost of the sins that you need to lay down. Count the cost of obedience. And then follow me. Are you ready? Pray with me. Lord Jesus, I come before you as a sinner. I repent of my sins. And I make a lifetime commitment to follow you, Jesus. Your will, your way, not the way of sin, but your way. Please forgive me of my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. I commit to love you with my whole heart, my whole soul, and my whole mind. You are my first love. I love you more than anything. I love you more than anyone. I am yours, and you are mine. Lord Jesus, I believe in you as my Lord and Savior. And from tonight, I submit and surrender to you. You are my King. Your will is my command. My life is yours. Use it. Heavenly Father, thank you that I can be your child. And that my name is written in the book of life. Thank you that I can be your child. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, when my wife and I got married, the vows took about just as long as this. You say, yes, yes, and I do, and then you're married. You are married to the Lamb, the bridegroom, Jesus Christ. You are in covenant with Him. Now the Bible says, walk worthy of that covenant. Amen? Stay as you are. Some people might want to give you something and pray with you, but don't move just yet. Just stay as you are. My second invitation. If you want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire tonight, I want you to come stand on this side for me quickly. Rush. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit yet, you want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire and receive the power of God, come to the front quickly. Quickly, run, run, run. You can come. Feels like an inspection, looking from the left and to the right, you know. Is there anyone else? Just come quickly. You've got 30 seconds. Okay. Now I'm catching you a little bit off guard, yeah? Those of you standing on my left-hand side. I want to ask you, do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit as well? Amen. Remember, God does not give scorpions and snakes. Some of us are so scared to talk in tongues, speak in tongues. Some of us are so scared we're going to fall over. What if I bump my head? Don't worry about that. It's the Holy Spirit is moving, and we don't worry about falling over or not. Most people don't. Some do. It's not the end of the world. Okay, you ready? Church, I'm going to just share with you, and as I'm going to do now, you need to do it yourself thousands of times in years to come. I want to share with you just something very simple. That is that I don't baptize with the Holy Spirit. Nobody in this room baptizes in the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I, Jesus, baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So now that we do not look to man, we don't look to some holy preacher, we don't look to some holy bottle of oil or something. There's no magic oil, by the way, from Israel or wherever. We look to Jesus Christ.
So I'm going to lead you in a very simple prayer where you're going to ask the Lord Jesus to baptize you with His Holy Spirit and with fire. You're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come inside of you, to empower you. You're going to declare your willingness to be used by Him. Then I'm going to pray for you in English, more or less the same things. And then I'm going to pray in tongues. And as I start to pray in tongues, I'm going to ask the rest of the church, who I assume by now are all filled with the Holy Spirit, meaning that seeing that you're sitting there. Then we're going to stand, and I want you to stretch out your hands to the people here. We're going to pray in tongues loud as you can. And then at that point, you can join us. And you can join us. And you're not going to speak Afrikaans and English. Let me just give you that tip as well. You can't speak Xhosa and Afrikaans at the same time. Sometimes people come to the front and they pray in Afrikaans. Here as a belief. Stop saying as a belief. Just say thank you, Lord. And then you start speaking in Zulu or Chinese or whatever God is going to give you. Amen. Hallelujah. Church, can we stand? As you're standing, I want you to know that speaking in tongues is just one of the gifts of the Spirit. There are many more, and we don't have time tonight to speak about the rest of them. But let us be known as a church on fire for Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit. And let us go out from this place tonight, moving mightily in every place that we go, not keeping silent. Let's pray. You can pray with me. Lord Jesus, I ask that you baptize me with your Holy Spirit and fire. Holy Spirit, come inside of me. Fill me with your dunamis power. Empower me with your gifts. I receive it now in the name of Jesus. I ask that you use me, and I declare that I am willing to be used. Thank you, Jesus, for baptizing me now with your Holy Spirit and with fire. Holy Spirit, I pray now that you will come upon these believers as they stand here. Lord Jesus, I pray that you baptize them with your Holy Spirit and with fire. Holy Spirit, come upon them now and empower them by your Spirit in Jesus' mighty name. In the name of Jesus, I come against the intellect and thoughts. Don't think about it. Just do it. Just do it. Just speak out in Jesus' name. Every tongue be loosed in Jesus' name. Tongues be loosed in Jesus' name. Just keep on going. Some of you are still battling the intellect. Forget about the natural things. Forget about your mind. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will come and wipe away fear and doubt in Jesus' name. Fear and doubt be gone in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody here wants to give a short testimony of what you experience right now? Just one person. Did you raise your hand? Don't be scared to testify. I think that gentleman can come quickly. Just see what you've experienced just now.
I just felt the Lord coming to me and like the Holy Spirit coming down. And previously in this sermon, I just felt to pray, so I'm just going to pray. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Lord, thank you for your kindness. And I just want to pray, Father, and I just cry out to you that you'll send your Holy Spirit down on us, Father, and that you will just bless us now, Father. And I really cry out to you, Father, that everyone here will experience you, Father, how wonderful and how majestic you are. And Father, when your Spirit moves, it's so powerful, Father, and it's so great and it's so good. And I just want to bless your name, Father. I want to lift you up, Father. I want to speak louder and louder and louder, Father, because there's joy in me, Father, and there's a fire that's burning, Father, and I just want to lift you up. Jesus, I want to say you're an amazing God. I want to lift you up and say, Jesus, you reign. You reign on high, Father, and we just want to lift you up, and I want to ask everyone just to give a shout out to God and say, Jesus, you are amazing. Father, we love you, and we love you, God. You are amazing, God, Jesus. We love you, Lord.
Hallelujah. It looks like everyone is a little bit scared to come and share a testimony, but I saw many of you praying in tongues and heard you as we're speaking in tongues. Time has run out. Normally I would just keep on a bit and just encourage you to share, but I don't want to keep everybody up here. Just share with me quickly. Who of you felt like you were praying in tongues? Just raise your hand quickly. Something you didn't understand. Anybody on this side? Okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, my word of encouragement. Every single one of you have been filled with the Holy Spirit. You have asked, therefore you have received. Hallelujah. And especially here on this side, you've just committed your life to the Lord. You know, it's like waking up on the honeymoon the first day. You think, whew, what have I gotten myself into? Now I have to speak a language that I know? But just rest in God to know that His power is in you, His Spirit is in you, and you need to just move out. It took me 6 months, by the way. Doesn't have to be like that. And I want to encourage every one of you on this side as well. You have received the Holy Spirit. Don't come here every Sunday asking for the same thing. You have received it. My advice to you is go home tonight, find a place where you can be quiet, where there's nobody else, and you pray and you say, Lord, thank you that I've received your Holy Spirit. And then you start praying in tongues all by yourself and just keep on and on and on. And even if you've received it, now, tonight do the same. Just keep on and on and on as long as you can. Amen? Next Sunday, come back and testify. Will you do that? Amen. Let's just close and pray. Father, I want to thank you for the mighty works that you are doing in us as a church. Not because we are special, but because you've chosen us. You've called us by name. And you send us out into the world. I pray now, Father, that a mighty rushing wind will come upon us now in Jesus' name. Gendacholach basamarach. Gonsenech, olech danach der alach denoch. Gonsemalech denianach, olreanach denamasan nachondo. Genalach danasemaralau, andech talakasi, gamarach basonti. In the name of Jesus Christ, I commission you as sons and daughters of the Most High God, filled with the Spirit of the Most High God and filled and endowed with His almighty power. Go forth in the name of Jesus. Proclaim Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, as King of all the earth and all the universe, in everything under the earth and above the earth. Go and heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, and spread the good news of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, go forth. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God and be blessed.